Chapter 36. The next morning was too bright a morning for sleep, and James Harthouse rose early, and sat in the pleasant bay window of his dressing room, smoking the rare tobacco that had had so wholesome an influence on his young friend. Reposing in the sunlight, with the fragrance of his eastern pipe about him, and the dreamy smoke vanishing into the air, so rich and soft with summer odors, he reckoned up his advantages as an idle winner might count his gains. He was not at all bored for the time, and could give his mind to it. He had established a confidence with her, from which her husband was excluded. He had established a confidence with her that absolutely turned upon her indifference towards her husband, and the absence, now and at all times, of any congeniality between them. He had artfully, but plainly, assured her that he knew her heart in its last most delicate recesses. He had come so near to her through its tenderest sentiment. He had associated himself with that feeling, and the barrier behind which she lived had melted away. All very odd, and very satisfactory. And yet he had not, even now, an earnest wickedness of purpose in him. Publicly and privately, it were much better for the age in which he lived, that he and the legion of whom he was one were designedly bad, than indifferent and purposeless. It is the drifting iceberg setting with any current anywhere, that wreck the ships. When the devil goeth about like a roaring lion, he goeth about in a shape by which few, but savages and hunters are attracted. But, when he is trimmed, smoothed, and varnished according to the mode, when he is aweary of vice, and aweary of virtue, used up as to brimstone, and used up as to bliss, then, whether he take to the serving out of red tape, or to the kindling of red fire, he is the very devil. So James Harthouse reclined in the window, indolently smoking, and reckoning up the steps he had taken on the road by which he happened to be traveling. The end to which it led was before him, pretty plainly, but he troubled himself with no calculations about it. What will be, will be. As he had rather a long ride to take that day, for there was a public occasion, to do at some distance, which afforded a tolerable opportunity of going in for the Gradgrind men, he dressed early, and went down to breakfast. He was anxious to see if she had relapsed since the previous evening. No. He resumed where he had left off. There was a look of interest for him again. He got through the day as much, or as little, to his own satisfaction, as was to be expected under the fatiguing circumstances, and came riding back at 6 o'clock. There was a sweep of some half mile between the lodge and the house, and he was riding along at a foot pace over the smooth gravel, once Nicket's, when Mr. Bounderby burst out of the shrubbery, with such violence, as to make his horse shy across the road. Harthouse! Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Mr. Bounderby. Have you heard? Apostrophe, heard what? Apostrophe, apostrophe, said Harthouse, soothing his horse, and inwardly favoring Mr. Bounderby with no good wishes. Then you haven't heard. Apostrophe, apostrophe, I have heard you, and so has this brute. I have heard nothing else. Apostrophe, Mr. Bounderby, red and hot, planted himself in the center of the path before the horse's head, to explode his bombshell with more effect. The bank's robbed. Apostrophe, apostrophe, you don't mean it. Apostrophe, apostrophe, robbed last night, sir. Robbed in an extraordinary manner. Robbed with a false key. Apostrophe, of much? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mr. Bounderby, in his desire to make the most of it, really seemed mortified by being obliged to reply, why, no, not of very much. But it might have been. Apostrophe, of how much? Apostrophe, apostrophe, oh. As a sum, if you stick to a sum of not more than £150, apostrophe, said Bounderby, with impatience. But it's not the sum, it's the fact. It's the fact of the bank being robbed, that's the important circumstance. I am surprised you don't see it. Apostrophe, my dear Bounderby, apostrophe, said James, dismounting, and giving his bridle to his servant, I do see it, and am as overcome as you can possibly desire me to be, by the spectacle afforded to my mental view. Nevertheless, I may be allowed, I hope, to congratulate you, which I do with all my soul, I assure you, on your not having sustained a greater loss. Apostrophe, thank ye, apostrophe, replied Bounderby, in a short, ungracious manner. But I tell you what, it might have been £20,000. Apostrophe, I suppose it might. Apostrophe, suppose it might. By the Lord, you may suppose so. By George. Apostrophe, said Mr. Bounderby, with sundry menacing nods and shakes of his head. It might have been £20,000. There's no knowing what it would have been, or wouldn't have been, as it was, but for the fellows being disturbed. Apostrophe, Louia had come up now, and Mrs. Sparsit, and Bitzer. Here's Tom Gradgrind's daughter knows pretty well what it might have been, if you don't, apostrophe, blustered Bounderby. Dropped, sir, as if she was shot when I told her. Never knew her do such a thing before. Does her credit, under the circumstances, in my opinion. Apostrophe, she still looked faint and pale. James Harthouse begged her to take his arm, and as they moved on very slowly, asked her how the robbery had been committed. Why, I am going to tell you, apostrophe, said Bounderby, irritably giving his arm to Mrs. Sparsit. If you hadn't been so mighty particular about the sum, I should have begun to tell you before. You know this lady, for she is a lady, Mrs. Sparsit? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I have already had the honor, apostrophe, very well. And this young man, Bitzer, you saw him too on the same occasion? Apostrophe, apostrophe, Mr. Harthouse inclined his head in assent, and Bitzer knuckled his forehead. Very well. They live at the bank. You know they live at the bank, perhaps? Very well. Yesterday afternoon, at the close of business hours, everything was put away as usual. In the iron room that this young fellow sleeps outside of, there was never mind how much. In the little safe in young Tom's closet, the safe used for petty purposes, there was £150-odd. Apostrophe, 154.71, apostrophe, said Bitzer. Come. Apostrophe, apostrophe, retorted Bounderby, stopping to wheel round upon him, let's have none of your interruptions. It's enough to be robbed while you're snoring, because you're too comfortable, without being put right with your 4.71s. I didn't snore, myself, when I was your age, let me tell you. I hadn't victuals enough to snore. And I didn't 4.71. Not if I knew it. Apostrophe, Bitzer knuckled his forehead again, in a sneaking manner, and seemed at once particularly impressed and depressed by the instance last given of Mr. Bounderby's moral abstinence. £150-odd, apostrophe, resumed Mr. Bounderby. That sum of money, young Tom locked in his safe, not a very strong safe, but that's no matter now. Everything was left, all right. Some time in the night, while this young fellow snored, Mrs. Sparsit, ma'am, you say you have heard him snore? Apostrophe, apostrophe, sir, apostrophe, returned Mrs. Sparsit, I cannot say that I have heard him precisely snore, and therefore must not make that statement. But on winter evenings, when he has fallen asleep at his table, I have heard him, what I should prefer to describe as partially choke. I have heard him on such occasions produce sounds of a nature similar to what may be sometimes heard in Dutch clocks. Not, apostrophe, said Mrs. Sparsit, with a lofty sense of giving strict evidence, that I would convey any imputation on his moral character. Far from it. I have always considered Bitzer a young man of the most upright principle, and to that I beg to bear my testimony. Apostrophe, well. Apostrophe, apostrophe, said the exasperated Bounderby, while he was snoring, or choking, or Dutch clocking, or something or other being asleep, some fellows, somehow, whether previously concealed in the house or not remains to be seen, got to young Tom's safe, forced it, and abstracted the contents. Being then disturbed, they made off, letting themselves out at the main door, and double-locking it again. It was double-locked, and the key under Mrs. Sparsit's pillow, with a false key, which was picked up in the street near the bank, about 12 o'clock today. No alarm takes place, till this chap, Bitzer, turns out this morning, and begins to open and prepare the offices for business. Then, looking at Tom's safe, he sees the door ajar, and finds the lock forced, and the money gone. Apostrophe, where is Tom, by the by? Apostrophe, apostrophe, asked Harthouse, glancing round. He has been helping the police, apostrophe, said Bounderby, and stays behind at the bank. I wish these fellows had tried to rob me, when I was at his time of life. They would have been out of pocket, if they had invested 18 pence in the job. I can tell them that. Apostrophe, is anybody suspected? Apostrophe, apostrophe, suspected? I should think there was somebody suspected. Egod. Apostrophe, said Bounderby, relinquishing Mrs. Sparsit's arm to wipe his heated head. Josiah Bounderby of Coketown is not to be plundered and nobody suspected. No, thank you. Apostrophe, might Mr. Harthouse inquire who was suspected? Well, apostrophe, said Bounderby, stopping, and facing about to confront them all, I'll tell you. It's not to be mentioned everywhere. It's not to be mentioned anywhere. In order that the scoundrels concerned, there's a gang of them, may be thrown off their guard. So take this in confidence. Now wait a bit. Apostrophe, Mr. Bounderby wiped his head again. What should you say to... Apostrophe, here he violently exploded. To a hand being in it? Apostrophe, apostrophe, I hope, apostrophe, said Harthouse, lazily, not our friend Blackpot? Apostrophe, say pool instead of Poe, sir, apostrophe, returned Bounderby, and that's the man. Apostrophe, Louis faintly uttered some word of incredulity and surprise. Oh yes, I know. Apostrophe, said Bounderby, immediately catching at the sound. I know. I am used to that. I know all about it. They are the finest people in the world, these fellows are. They have got the gift of the gab, they have. They only want to have their rights explained to them, they do. But I tell you what. Show me a dissatisfied hand, and I'll show you a man that's fit for anything bad, I don't care what it is. Apostrophe, another of the popular fictions of Coketown, which some pains had been taken to disseminate, and which some people really believed. But I am acquainted with these chaps, apostrophe, said Bounderby. I can read them off, like books. Mrs. Sparsit, ma'am, I appeal to you. What warning did I give that fellow, the first time he set foot in the house, when the express object of his visit, was to know how he could knock religion over, and floor the established church? Mrs. Sparsit, in point of high connections, you are on a level with the aristocracy, did I say, or did I not say, to that fellow, you can't hide the truth from me. You are not the kind of fellow I like, you'll come to no good? Apostrophe, apostrophe, assuredly, sir, apostrophe, returned Mrs. Sparsit, you did, in a highly impressive manner, give him such an admonition. Apostrophe, when he shocked you, ma'am, apostrophe, said Bounderby, when he shocked your feelings. Apostrophe, apostrophe, yes, sir, apostrophe, returned Mrs. Sparsit, with a meek shake of her head, he certainly did so. Though I do not mean to say, but that my feelings may be weaker on such points more foolish, if the term is preferred than they might have been, if I had always occupied my present position. Apostrophe, Mr. Bounderby stared with a bursting pride at Mr. Harthouse, as much as to say, I am the proprietor of this female, and she's worth your attention, I think. Apostrophe then, resumed his discourse. You can recall for yourself, Harthouse, what I said to him when you saw him. I didn't mince the matter with him. I am never mealy with him. I know him. Very well, sir. 3 days after that, he bolted. Went off, nobody knows where. As my mother did in my infancy, only with this difference, that he is a worse subject than my mother, if possible. What did he do before he went? What do you say? Apostrophe Mr. Bounderby, with his hat in his hand, gave a beat upon the crown at every little division of his sentences, as if it were a tambourine, to his being seen night after night watching the bank, to his lurking about there after dark, to its striking Mrs. Sparsit that he could be lurking for no good to her calling Bitzer's attention to him, and their both taking notice of him, and to its appearing on inquiry today that he was also noticed by the neighbors? ... Having come to the climax, Mr. Bounderby, like an oriental dancer, put his tambourine on his head. Suspicious, ... said James Harthouse, certainly. ... I think so, sir, ... said Bounderby, with a defiant nod. I think so. But there are more of them in it. There's an old woman. One never hears of these things till the mischief's done. All sorts of defects are found out in the stable door after the horse is stolen. There's an old woman turns up now. An old woman who seems to have been flying into town on a broomstick, every now and then. She watches the place a whole day before this fellow begins, and on the night when you saw him, she steals away with him, and holds a council with him, I suppose, to make her report on going off duty, and be damned to her. ... There was such a person in the room that night, and she shrunk from observation, thought Louia. This is not all of them, even as we already know them, ... said Bounderby, with many nods of hidden meaning. But I have said enough for the present. You'll have the goodness to keep it quiet, and mention it to no one. It may take time, but we shall have them. It's policy to give them line enough, and there's no objection to that. ... Of course, they will be punished with the utmost rigor of the law, as notice boards observe, ... replied James Harthouse, and serve them right. Fellows who go in for banks must take the consequences. If there were no consequences, we should all go in for banks. ... He had gently taken Louia's parasol from her hand, and had put it up for her, and she walked under its shade, though the sun did not shine there. For the present, Lou Bounderby, ... said her husband, here's Mrs. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.